Amen. Hallelujah. Wow.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has already started with us. It's exciting to see how we are just moving in a particular direction from the prayer point to even the last prayer points raised up. It's very clear the Lord is speaking to us. And I believe that we are in a strategic season as a body. I mean, locally, we are in a very important season. I believe God is up to something very important. And if I could say long term, it will have a very notable impact, especially for this year. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I have a simple message, or there's no such thing as a simple message, but my message today is very much instructive. I want to be deliberate, and it gives guidance, I believe, by the Spirit. It gives some level of guidance to our operations and our engagement, our focus, our devotion for all of the year, and probably past that, but mostly for all of the year. I was just thinking, this happens to be the first time the word of the Lord is coming to us for the year. And the title of my message is The Counsel for the Transition. The Counsel for the Transition. Like I said, it will be very instructive, and I'll trust the Lord to be deliberate. The Counsel for the Transition. The Counsel for the Transition. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark 4 from verse 35. And if your speaker is not on mute, I will invite us to please read together. Okay. Are we there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 1, 2, go. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. We all know the story. I'm not going to read the story, and we know what happened with the disciples and Jesus. We know that the storms arose. We know that the Lord was sleeping in the cabin while they panicked and things like that. But we are not even going to be focusing on that. My heart is drawn to the statement, which is, let us pass over or cross over to the other side. Like I said, our meditation today is the counsel for the transition, not just transition, but counsel for the transition. And it begs the question, what in essence is a transition? Like the statement here states, let us pass over or cross over to the other side. What is transition? And in simple terms, transition basically means timely movement from one phase to another. Timely movement from one phase to another. That's what it simply means. You have a butterfly, for example. A butterfly has a life cycle. So you have the egg, you have the, I stand to be corrected for the biology people in the house. You have the egg, you have the caterpillar, you have the pupa, and you have the full adult, the adult butterfly, right? Likewise, a student who is in primary one transits in due time to primary two, to primary three, primary four, likewise. But it has to be in due time, not just because you want to change, but because it is a change as per time. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So when we talk about transition, what are we talking about? First and foremost, it has to be very clear The world on its own is in transition. The medium of operation of things, everything we have known is changing. There is a transition in how things are done. God also is on the move. And when God is on the move, he moves with his church. He moves with his people. And how does he do this? He instructs. He says, when the evening was come, he said, not because they decided to, but he said, let us move over to the other side. He said. So what kind of transition are we talking about? First of all, like I said, the world is on the move. That's a clear thing for everyone to see. As a body, we are also on the move. There is greater capacity. There is greater grace in all forms. There is increase. There is emphasis on higher operations. The messages that have been coming to us for the past while, the emphasis of the Lord. It's a call to transition. It's a movement of the body. So, in other words, there is the operation of transition at a global level. There is the operation of transition at a local, or should I say the corporate level of the church. Yes, and there is the transition of the local church from season to season. Like we said, it's from one phase to the other. So there is a switch in seasons for the church. There is a switch. So there is a transition. And on an individual level, of course, it is happening. Whatever affects the local church or happens to the local church happens to individuals. People are changing. We spoke about teenagers. There is transition from babyhood to what's next, teenage or whatever is down the line, and into adulthood and things like that. For other people, it may be switching careers. For some people, it may be transitioning to other phases of life. But the reality is there is transition ongoing. There is transition ongoing. Everybody say the church is on the move.
The church is on the move.
Let's unmute together and say it together. The church is on the move.
The church is on the move.
Let's repeat it one more time. The church is on the move.
The church is on the move.
Hallelujah. These are exciting days. Like I said, there is increase on every side. And when the Lord gives increase, what we are to do is to ask ourselves, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Like it has been stated during the prayers, during the fasting and prayers last year, we are not worried so much about the shaking. Because God is interacting with us on a unique level. He's not interacting with us as though we are in darkness. The operations with the church continue. On an individual level, the Lord visits you even more when there is darkness around. So he says that that gross darkness will cover the earth. Or darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness to people. But the Lord will visit, will arise on his people with light. So we are not... It's not a thing of maybe we don't know where we stand. There was a prayer of identity crisis. That means when we're praying today, there was a prayer point raised in that line. And I believe it's very crucial. That we'll speak about and we'll talk about that later. But some things we must know about transition and with regards to our meditation today. The first and most important thing we must know about transition, at least even captured in that scripture, the first and most important thing we must know is that transition is not without direction. Transition is not without direction. It's not without direction. Transition is not without direction. Remember, we said the meditation today is counsel for the transition, counsel for the transition. That's why we're being deliberate to say some things. Flow with me, just stay with me, and the Lord will give grace. So transition is not without direction. In other words, it is purposeful. It is purposeful. It is purposeful. Let us go over to the other side, Not just any direction, but to the other side. Spiritual growth is purposeful. advancement is purposeful. Why is God saying, let's pray more for one another? Why is the Lord increasing the burden for intercession? Why is the Lord increasing the need for love within the body? Greater capacity, greater capacity, greater responsibility. Why is there higher grace on your life? Greater capacity, greater responsibility. It is purposeful. So transition is purposeful. That's the first and most important thing. Number two is that transition or purposeful transition is initiated by God, by the voice of God. Purposeful transition is initiated by the voice of God. Purposeful transition is initiated by the voice of God. When the evening time was come, he said unto them, let us go to the other side. The voice or the leading of God. The voice or the leading of God. We see this occurring all through scriptures. Whenever there was transition, even in the Old Testament, you see that the prophets were the channels, a call to move on to the next level. And in the new, we have direction. We see that occurring. For example, when the Lord was about to initiate or to establish the church, there was an instruction that you go wait in Jerusalem. That was a switching phase. So go and wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit be poured from on high, and you shall receive power, rather, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So transition is initiated by the voice or the leading of God. Number three is transition happens in due time. Purposeful transition happens in due time. Purposeful transition happens in due time. Purposeful transition happens in due time. When the evening time was come, when the evening time was come, he said unto them, let us go unto the other side. When the evening time was come. So we see a similar statement in Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. There is timing. God has a calendar in his operation of things. Because God is dealing with us in a process. He's rather deliberate. He's not in a rush concerning the things that pertain to the body. So it happens in due time. In due time. In due time. Just give me a second. Yes. So purposeful transition happens in due time. Now, those are the three, if I could say the center points of our meditation today. I'm gonna be brief because we're gonna pray. I'm gonna be brief, but we see three important factors when coming to or speaking of the topic called transition. The first is clarity of purpose or direction. The second happens to be the voice or the leading of God. And the third happens to be due time or proper interaction with time, understanding the time and moving rightly with it. So understanding of the time and proper interaction with that time. Sorry, something is happening to me. Okay, it's happening to everybody's. Okay. I was thinking about something when Salahu was speaking. I was laughing, but I was off video. Salahu was praying for children. And it just got me thinking. I mean, the prayer came up last week. But I just began to think that 2 years ago, this was not an issue. In fact, we were at East Vista looking for chalk for the whiteboard. It's so we've come a long way, you understand? And it happens, it continues like that in every local setting. And I believe strongly that this is what the Lord is doing with us. That's why I say it's instructive. There is an advancement in the spirit. There is greater capacity to do. There is greater coverage. There is greater sphere of influence. The coronavirus thing cannot hold us back, because things will still move. That's the reality. So there is greater sphere. And like I was saying, there are three things. I want to move very quickly. Three things that capture that is captured or very frequent in the life of Jesus Christ. Three important things. You will see concerning the use and the interaction of time. In John chapter 9, verse 5, I believe. John chapter 9, verse 5. It says, I must walk the walk of my Father while it is day. For the ninth cometh. Is it verse 5? It should be John chapter 9. Give me a second. Verse 4, rather. I must walk the walk of him that sent me while it is day, for the ninth cometh, where no man can walk. So there was a consciousness of time. You see that happening over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. You see that factor in his life. And like we said, the second thing in view, going backwards, is the place of the speakings of God. In John chapter 5, verse 19, he says that I can of myself do nothing except that which I see my Father do. The Son can do nothing of himself except what he sees the Father do. So, for the things whatsoever he doeth, these things the Son does likewise. So we see the leading of the Lord. Other scriptures that give a similitude of oppression. And lastly, purpose, clarity of purpose. Clarity of purpose. If there's anything that captures or is captured in the life of God, the life of God, of course, Jesus is God, is purpose. The incarnate Christ, it was purpose. It was clarity of purpose. And we were praying about identity. I believe this is a very important area the Lord will be touching in this year for many individuals and for the church in general. Clarity of purpose. What am I called? What is the reason for my existence? What should be the direction of my devotion? What should be the basis for which I invest and labor? Why am I here? Clarity of purpose. Before we define what purpose is, I would like us to look at the life of Jesus and see certain things that were outlined with regards to purpose. In fact, just scriptural statements concerning the purpose as it relates to Jesus. Let's open to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. We'll read together. 1 John chapter 3. Give me a second. 1 John chapter 3. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yes. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Or verse 8, rather. Sorry for that. Let's read it. 1, 2, go. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose. So there was a purpose for which the Lord was revealed, was manifested. For this purpose, his movements in life were not without purpose. Let's take another scripture. Mark chapter 1, the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. Mark 1, 38. Mark 1, 38. Let's read it. 1, 2, go. And he said unto them, let us
go into the next town,
that I may preach there also. For therefore came I. Another translation says, for this purpose have I come. For this purpose have I come. For this purpose have I come. Let's go to the last scripture we'll read concerning this. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'll read from verse 31 to 33, and we'll read, I think it should be 34. Just to give us appreciation for the line of thought. In the meantime, while the disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples to one to another, "Has any man brought him aught to eat?" Let's read verse 34 together. One, two, go. Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his works." My meat is to do the will of him that has sent me. My food, that which gives me satisfaction, that which gives me pleasure, is to do the will of him that has sent me and finish it. So you are to know the will. You are to engage it. And you are to fulfill it. Those are three areas of interaction with purpose. So you are to know it, you are to engage it, and you are to fulfill it by the help of the Lord. You are to know it, you are to engage it, do it, and you are to fulfill it by the end, by the help of the Lord. Can we resound that together? You are to what? You are to know it. One, you are to engage it. And you are to what? Fulfill it. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And like I said, I believe this is the current emphasis for us. At least at this point as a body. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people lack restraint. Vision gives or instructs clarity of purpose, instructs the value you place on your life. It instructs the decisions you make. It instructs your devotion. Where do I invest or give myself wholly to? It instructs things like self-worth are dealt with. When proper understanding, self-esteem, depression, things like that are dealt with when proper understanding of purpose is established. These are things, for example, when someone does not know what God has placed or committed to him in his life, that's where you see the option of watching porn. A pop-up, you are browsing through Facebook and a pop-up comes up, say, plus 18. Click on this to access the site. You now click. You don't know what's on your life. That's the problem. It's not. See, there is. Remember, concerning sin, there is an enticement. There is an intelligence of sin. So it usually deals with. It says every man is drawn by his own lust. But when clarity of purpose is established, when there is understanding, look at Joseph. Apart from the fact that he feared God, he knew where he was going. How will I be sitting? I've seen myself being recognized by the stars, symbolic stars now in this case. And why will I, having seen that, regardless of the fear of God, which was the primary factor, having seen that, still sleep with a queen? There was purpose on his life. So, purpose instructs our decision making. There was a brother who was sharing, a brother, he used to stay at an area called Dalhousie. And on this Dalhousie area, I mean, we are all in Winnipeg here for most of us. On this Dalhousie area, the houses there, when he came to Canada, he noticed that they never locked their doors. So sometimes during the winter, people who were standing outside will just, I saw this mostly, or this was mostly maybe for Nigerians. I don't think anybody would take that if you're a Caucasian, by the way. But Some people may just step into some houses. So this house was just beside the bus stop. And it was very cold, apparently, that day. This girl walked into the house. She just opened the door and entered. And as she entered, this is a girl, by the way, who had a reputation of some sorts. She was highly promiscuous. She was known. And the brother saw the sister inside the house. He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "I'm just waiting for my boss." He said, "Okay, no problem." He said, "Me, I want to go and buy pizza. You can't wait." The brother left the house. He left the house for the girl. You understand? He fled. He ran away. I tell some of my, my brothers, and just playfully here and there, the same person who said be strong in the Lord was the same person who said flee. Flee immorality, flee youthful lust. The same person who said be strong, he was not lacking words. So an understanding of purpose instructs and guides us. There is value. For what cause? Pornography, for what? These eyes that should be seeing heavenly vision.
Hallelujah.
These eyes that should be talking about seeing things of age to come. Things, glorious things of the now. When value is placed on your life, the issue of temptation reduces. Because what is the cost? At what cost? So we are zooming in on clarity of purpose. We don't have time to talk about the leadings of the Lord or the voice of the Lord and timing. There is no time for that, although they are very much connected, as we will see. But purpose instructs us in our value. It instructs our decision making. It instructs even things like comparison. One of the reasons people cowed down from expressing themselves, even though they may know what God is placing on their heart, is lack of consciousness of uniqueness. That means you are not sure of what God has placed on your life. So the other man or the other brother becomes the reference point for what you should be doing or how things should be done. So you that is a calm person, maybe you see someone come out and jump to you. You want to say, if I'm not doing that, maybe I'm not doing the will of God for my life. Or maybe someone who is meant to be praying, you have grace for intercession, but you just feel like there is nothing, this is not the main thing. This is not the thing that matters. I need to hold the mic. You understand? Clarity of purpose gives you fulfillment. It gives you comfort. You don't compare yourself. Every man has something that is unique about him. And the body benefits more. The body benefits more when you engage that thing. In fact, you are cheating the body when you hold back that thing because of self-preservation. So we are zooming in on clarity of purpose. Clarity of purpose. Everybody say, my eyes are open to see.
My eyes are open to see.
Let's say it together. My eyes are open to see. Let's shout it one more time. My eyes are open to see. The eyes of my understanding are enlightened. I have access and I know God's purpose for my life. By the power of the living God, I will engage and fulfill it. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So purpose, we're zooming in on that. Like I said, I expect this to be short because it's rather instructive, and sometimes the lesser the information, the better to recollect. So let's move on. There are three important things we must know about purpose, which we have touched in some sense, while discussing so far. The first thing is the definition of purpose now. The first and most important thing, as we see in John chapter 4, Mercy, please can you put that up again? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 from verse 34. John chapter 4. It says that my meat, My food is to do the will of him that has sent me. So basically, purpose. The purpose for anything is the reason for which anything was created in the first place. It is the reason for which anything was created. So in your case, it is the will of God for your life. It is the will of God for your life. The will of God. The will of God for your life. My meat is to do, not just to know it. So my meat is to do the will of him that has sent me. That is the first thing. The second thing is that it is the sole source of satisfaction for both the creator and the creation. It is the sole source of satisfaction for both the creator and the creation. It is the sole source of satisfaction for both the creator and the creator. The sole source. My meat, my food, that which gives me pleasure. That which gives me pleasure is the will, to do the will of the Father. Whatever purpose that you cannot ignore, you know, there are at least three major appetites for the natural man, or for man in general. Three major: the appetite for sleep, appetite for food, appetite for sex. So, okay, Philip is asking the sole source of satisfaction and fulfillment. The sole source of satisfaction and fulfillment. So we are getting that from my meat is to do the will. My food is to do the will of the Father, of him that sent me. Yeah, I was saying something. So the three major appetites you have for man, you have appetite for sleep. You have appetite for which other one? Appetite for food. You have the appetite for sex. Those are the three at least glorified ones. But when purpose comes into view, usually it gives a different level of satisfaction when compared and weighed to any form of satisfaction outside of this. So when I say it instructs our decision making, for example, there are people who will rather go out to go and preach the gospel than to sit at home to eat KFC. Not because it is bad to eat KFC. Maybe you're offered food by something. Sorry? And okay, so Anu is correcting or passing out something to the house. So, not because it is bad to eat KFC, but because it is that which gives you satisfaction. Weight-wise, when you weigh what is being offered to you and what is in your heart, because you are designed to do a particular thing, not just because you, as a man or as a being or human being, you just do those things. These are things we do as part of life, but not the sole purpose of life. So when you do that which you are designed to do, it gives you satisfaction. Sometimes all you will have is purpose. Sometimes all you will have is purpose. There may be phases where all you will have is that in front of you. Not because there may be a form of inactivity in the open. But what the Lord expects is that you engage that. You engage that. We'll come to that later when we are outlining certain things. Sometimes all you have is purpose. And this is what satisfies. This is what, like I said, some people will go out and preach. Some people, they want to just pray. In fact, that is what drives you sometimes. For thank God we have intercessors in the house. By God's grace, we are all intercessors. All of us. The whole church should be full of intercessors or made up of intercessors. You just have a burden to pray. And you just have a burden to fast. Food, your stomach shuts up. You intercede for your brothers. Not because food is not sweet then, but because you are doing what you were designed to do. You are doing what you were designed to do. So it gives you greater pleasure than food. Likewise, sex. Likewise, sleep. Sometimes you lose your sleep to do other things that are important. You just see a brother who is burdened on a particular matter. He wants to study. He wants to make sure that people are level. They understand truth. Things are cleared. He wants to say it the right way. So he spends all night studying. And usually our burdens are most of the time a pointer to the ultimate purposes for our lives. Our burdens.
That's right.
They give a direction, and it continues. So you may be doing something now. It's an indication, and we'll find out that the knowledge of purpose increases. A better picture comes into view over time. So you may think you actually know the full thing, but as you move on with the Lord, what happens is that things open up. So you are in a better place to act and to do things better for God. But we're jumping ahead of ourselves. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the first two things I said was, it is the reason for your existence. What was the first one? Can someone repeat it to me? Concerning purpose.
It is the source for satisfaction and fulfillment for both creator and creature.
That's the second one. So the first one was, the purpose is
the purpose is the will of God.
Yes, like, yes.
Yes, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That was the first one.
Yes. So my meat is to do the will. Emphasis on the will of God. You can add scriptures, by the way. The second one, you can go to Isaiah 46, verse 10. It says, my counsel or my purpose shall stand. I will do that which I please. My counsel or my purpose shall stand. I will do that which I please. I will do that which my please. I will do my pleasure, all my pleasure. So the last one, the third thing concerning purpose is that purpose is time related. Purpose is time related. It's time related. There is a time for everything. Scripture says, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, I believe, or thereabout, it outlines things down to verse 10. There is a time for everything. There is a time for everything and purpose upon the face of the earth. So God has a calendar. You remember when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus that, come, when will you restore the kingdom to the children of Israel? And he had to explain to them, even though they were not saying the same thing, that, come, it's not in your power. It's not in your power to know the things. So it's not in your own course to know the things that the Father has placed in his own power. But go and do this. This is what is needful. Go and wait in Jerusalem. This is the needful thing at this point in time. So God, first and foremost, has a calendar. For your life, he has a calendar. For individuals, for the church, for mankind. For example, the Bible says now is the time of salvation. In other words, this is the time when salvation is permitted. This is a time where souls should be saved. So evangelism is a norm. It's a command. This is a time where people should be healed. This is a time where people should be delivered. This is where people should be prayed for, because now is the time of salvation. So there is a time factor in the operation of God. There is a time factor. So these three things are key concerning purpose. Some may call it vision, but clarity of purpose, concerning purpose. These three things are very important. These three things are very important. And like I said, I'm going to use Abraham to give a picture of how purpose is expounded over time. You see, like we said, it's not always instant. Moses was meant to be the deliverer or the symbolic shepherd of the children of Israel. But at a certain time, he was sent into the wilderness to go shepherd Jethro's sheep. So it was an exercise, it was a preparation. Likewise, you may be working or maybe dealing with young people or maybe a Sunday school, for example, at this point in time. But the Lord is actually preparing you for some time in the future where you will have to go to certain place and you'll be in some way holding a responsibility of maybe a teacher or whatever you want to call it, but it's preparatory. And understanding of the now will, there is, please take this down, there is the ultimate purpose of your life, and there is the will of God per season, per time. There is the ultimate purpose for your life, and there is the will of God per season, per time. There is the ultimate purpose of the Lord, and there is the will of God per season, per time. What does that mean? For example, Jesus, the Bible says he was manifested to destroy the works of Satan. But at a certain point, what he just needed to do was to fetch firewood, was to hammer wood, get nails, learn certain acts. In fact, there was a time where he was not doing anything significant, if you can say. Not significant is not the best word, or maybe supernatural. At a certain point, a time came where he just needed to turn water to wine. Imagine he said, I know the reason why I came. Let's not waste our time. Which kind of thing? I don't want to turn water to wine at all. Which kind of thing is this? Let's do the thing which I came for. I want to die. I want to. That's why I came. It's out of season. It's out of time. So there is an operation per time. Of course, he says, my time has not yet come. The Lord and his mother told him. The mother basically instigated that action. But I'm trying to pass across an operation as per what happens in time with regards to purpose. And I want us to see something concerning Abraham. I want us to see something concerning Abraham. How that God expounds on the concept of purpose, both for the church, both for individuals. People over time get to a better place and understanding of purpose, and they are in better places to make key decisions. They are concerning the church. You understand why you are to fellowship in a particular setting. You understand why God is doing what he is doing. Why am I not going the way everybody is doing things? Purpose, understanding of purpose. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis, we'll move rather quickly now. Genesis 12, and I'll read. I want us just follow very quickly or follow very intently from verse 1 to 3. He says, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Now the Lord said, so we see the voice of the Lord initiating an exodus, a transition. Now the Lord said, and from thy fathers and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we see the first introduction to the concept of what God had called him to do. The purpose for his existence. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
If you're with me, shout amen.
Amen.
If you're with me, shout a greater amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We are going very gently. I need to be deliberate. That's how the Lord led me today. So, I want to establish understanding, and we'll see at the end that the Lord is instructing us in some sense, and it will be a good reference that's going through the year. So the first thing we see concerning Abraham is the fact that the Lord encountered him, and we see an introduction to what God has called him to do. And you see this as some kind of summed up definition of what God intended for him. He just gave him two verses. Not just the fact that it is two verses, but not really much, he said. And many people fall in this line. Concerning the church, first of all, many people get born again. What is the purpose of church? Let me not deviate. Clarity of purpose. Now, many people get born again, and the first thing they interact with is they have an idea of why they are accepted or they've come into Christ. But it's not big, it's not clear per se. Now we see something with Abraham, a very, very summed up definition of everything that concerns him. So I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and that shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that cursed thee, and in them or in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the first interaction or the first introduction to purpose is established. Let's move on to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Let's go together to chapter 15. Chapter 15. I'll read very quickly. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. We see a constant again. The word of the Lord came unto him. The leading, the voice of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I am childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. Verse 5. I would like us to read verse 5 together. Want to go? And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven, tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So we see an elaboration on the initial statement in Acts or in Genesis chapter 12. It's in smaller verses now, but clarity is given to the initial statement. If you can tell the numbers of the stars of the heavens, so shall thy seed be. In the beginning, he just told him some decent stuff, which was a sum. And really, that's how it is in reality. For those who may have experienced or are experiencing this, or are not sure what the Lord has designed them for, it's usually a constant. You will find out that you have greater clarity as you move on with the Lord. The Lord comes and he expounds on it. He comes and he expounds. Let's go. Let's jump. Let's take a jump very quickly. It's 48 minutes. Good. Okay. A jump to verse 17. I'll read very quickly to verse 8. It says, And when Abraham was 99 years and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. So we see another constant again, the Lord appearing, the Lord showing forth himself, the Lord coming again to his people or to the individual. And what did he do? He spoke to him, and it was in due time. And a quick deviation. We see the concept of time coming into view. And remember in verse 16, we know the story of Sarah pushing Abraham to get something outside of the time of God. We know the story. I don't want to stay there. And it's a huge temptation while in transition. It's a huge temptation in the sense that it's very possible it's very possible to produce an Ishmael. It's not a bad thing. Ishmael is blessed, but the covenant is with Isaac. So the reality, however, the reality is focus, understanding of time. You know, sometimes we try to help God because we have... Sarah must have said, say, come. Maybe they called themselves daddy and mommy that time. Daddy, did God say, or maybe be, did God say the woman, the child will come from? He promised us a child. But did God say the person? He said, no. I said, what are we waiting for? Let's make this stuff happen now. See this girl there. A promise is a promise. A woman is woman, child is child. Take this woman since I'm barren. So it's very sometimes, because you have an understanding of the initial concept of purpose, you try to help God. You try to walk in the flesh, to act out things that are not necessarily in God's view and God's purpose for your life. And we know from scriptures in Galatians, one speaks of the law, another one speaks of grace. But putting it into practice, what we're talking about speaks of timely interaction with God. And we will know, we establish some things that give us an understanding, that give us an understanding of due time. But let's move on. I'll go back to I'm still on chapter 17, verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, for as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abraham, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. We are seeing an expansion. I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed, and after thee in thy generation, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to thy seed and after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the lands of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So we see elaboration again. Three times the Lord came unto him. We see elaboration, and it's for the sake of expounding on still one purpose. One purpose. One purpose. I would like to take a jump to verse 16. Now, we're seeing how God orchestrates and works with the blueprint of his will. How that he only does things by his grace, not by human works. Like I said, you can, for example, the Lord may be putting it in your heart to do something or to carry out a particular project, but you just want to do it, even though you are not necessarily prepared. Let's see what the Lord said concerning Abraham, verse 16. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, and kings shall come out of her. Verse 19. I'll jump to verse 19. I'm looking for something. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Verse 21, but my covenant I will establish. I'll read from verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him greatly. 12 princes shall come out of him. Verse 21, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. Everybody say at the set time. Let's say that together. At the set time.
At the set time.
At the set time. So Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we together?
Yes.
So, at the set time, we are three things, just to simplify our meditation, at the core of our meditation, three things we can initiate or focus on. We see clarity of purpose, the leading of God or the voice of God, and time with regards to purpose and transition. Remember, we are speaking regarding the church. You can relate it to the world, but mostly with regards to the church, with regards to the body, and you can relate it to other individual aspects of life. So we see a factor called time in the delegation of purpose. Due time. The Bible says in somewhere, I think it's in Proverbs, that an inheritance gotten before time is not blessed. Now, the problem is not the lack of an inheritance as a child of God. That's in the Proverbs. An inheritance gotten out of time is not blessed. What the Lord does is that He prepares you. He prepares you while He expounds on vision and He expounds your capacity. For example, one emphasis in the house of late has been the need for prayers, the need to pray more for ourselves, the need to walk in love. These are clear indications that the Lord is increasing capacity. Obviously, there is greater grace. This year we are currently in is a different year. There is so much grace available in the house. And many will come into a point of greater clarity and understanding of purpose for their life, like never before, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Clarity on a deeper sense. And that's one thing this thing does. One thing it does is that it gives comfort. It gives comfort for the times where you did not understand. If you go to verse... I'm using my phone on my Bible. Verse 21. You'll see the promise actually fulfilled in verse 21. And the Lord visited Sarah and said unto... The Lord visited Sarah as He has said the word. And the Lord did unto Sarah as He has spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time which the Lord has spoken. The set time. So we see God's purposes as it relates to time. And one thing that is crucial, especially when things are better elaborated on, is that the questions of the past are better understood. There is great comfort in better understanding of purpose. For example, Abraham must have asked, why did I go through this thing? Just the way many are in situations where they are asking God, say, why am I going through? Why has this happened to me in the past? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did I go through this dealing? Why did I go through this experience? Why did this happen to me? Why did I have to learn to forgive more? Why did I have to learn by correction? Why did I have to go through this experience? And the Lord is saying you will understand better. Even in this year, you will understand even clearer. If there has been places where there has been lack of understanding, and the reason for which certain things have happened, the Lord will establish that even clearer in this year. I thought song we say amen. So there is the Lord, I believe this is the way the Lord has led me. That's how we have to go. But I want to establish certain things, precept upon precepts. How that God is refining and exposing His people. Even if you think you have known before, He says, then shall we follow on to know the Lord. It is as you follow on, as you walk, it becomes clearer over time, and you have better appreciation for why things have happened, why the church has gone through certain phases, why the church had to go through persecution, why you had to experience certain things, why there was drought or so-called drought in that season. There is better appreciation for the acts of God. A man of God, a popular man of God, says something that I tend to agree with. He says that we don't, it's a hard thing, but he says we don't live by God's explanations. We live by his instructions. So one way along the line, we will understand. And we will even have understanding and better appreciation for why they happened. How that it made you better as an individual. It strengthened your faith. Some of us are coming, are already actually in better places. God is shaping the house in vision. In this year, there is better clarity from the least to the greatest. People will place better value on their lives. People will come into certain operations and clearer operations within even the house of God. Clarity of purpose, as it relates to the house on different levels. And the Lord will be giving new visions, because we are transiting to a new season as a house. We are transiting, we are on the move. We are moving with God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
So there is a move. The Lord is on the move. The Lord is on the move, my brethren. And like it was said during the prayer, not a hoof will be left behind.
The Lord is on the move.
He is on the move. And the Lord will strengthen his house in the place of holiness. Strengthen his house in the place of stronger consecration and devotion to the things of God. Because purpose is being outlined. Greater purpose. For some people, they have an idea. For some people, God is expounding. By the way, it never really stops. But for others, they are not sure. Many people, they are not sure of what God has designed them or called them to live for or to do. That's going to be one of our prayer points today. And the Lord, when the door opens for certain things, it means that light is shining and possibilities, things are now possible in that area. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's move together. Like I said, today is very instructive. This is already an hour. I just have some things I want to outline. They are instructional to the house. What should we be doing in this year? What are the things we should focus more on while in transit? What should we be doing? The first and most important thing is to sow in the night season or in the evening. Sow in the night season. Like it was said in that scripture, it says when the evening was come. You know, it is very, very clear the world has come into an evening time. That's the reality. And there are two things really that characterize the time of the evening. One is the supposed inactivity of men. You know, everybody is in their rooms right now and everybody is doing their own thing. And it looks like nothing is happening on the outside. So inactivity. And another one is it's used to symbolically capture an inconvenient period. You understand? So people tell you about sowing in the daytime for the night season, but there's actually something that's sowing in the night. When on the outside, it looks like nothing is happening, but the Lord is investing in his people, he's investing strongly in his people in various dimensions. One thing the Lord said concerning this is that as clarity of purpose comes, your giftings, your calls, there will be a defined investment in it. So people don't just do things because people are doing it. Your devotion becomes clearer. It does not make sense at this point in time because people, this period, everybody is just walking about. The temptation is to just do the normal thing. But the Lord is saying, sow in the evening, sow in the nighttime. So, and it may even be inconvenient. So. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. Remember, the Bible says that as the earth remains, seed time and harvest time shall not cease, winter and summer. It talks about day and night. These are seasons. But let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're rounding up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It is possible to be weary because it is inconvenient. You know, when the Lord said unto Moses, come up to the mountain and stay there, the issue was not to come up. Symbolically speaking, now, sometimes the Lord gives instructions, but because of the inconvenience, mentally, all around, whatever you want to call it, there is that inability to stay. But the Lord is saying, so, do not be weary. Continue in prayers. Concerning your brethren, continue in prayers. Continue in prayers. Labor in prayers. See, if you are on an individual level, so. You don't have to be loud about it. Do what God has told you to do. Continue sowing, labor in prayers. I believe this is a year of great investment for many people. A defining year in labor in the word, labor in prayers. And of course, on a physical level, the Lord has instructed you to take up certain endeavors, certain things as it pertains to life. Maybe get a new skill, get a certificate. Invest. It will be needed later. Invest. So, while it seems insignificant. So. Number two, we're rounding up and we'll pray. Number two, focus and exercise yourself on what God's purpose is for your life. Or God's purpose for your life, rather, to shorten that statement. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Very quickly, we'll read that without expanding much. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. It says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his house to give meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find what? So doing. Focus. Put away distractions. Focus on what the Lord has called you or told you to do, whether it be on a secular level or within the house. Focus on that. Exercise yourself. The Bible says that write the vision, make it plain upon the tables of the heart, that they may run that read it. So the intention, the goal of having the vision written on your heart is to run, to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number three, make proper use of your time. Make proper use of your time. Put value on your life. Don't spend time, 4 hours, watching Kai. Instagram. I just joined Instagram some months ago, and I found out that you can be implicated by just clicking on that. I don't know what they call it. You don't even have to look for the things.
Instagram.
Some people spend hours on Instagram, on YouTube.
Instagram.
No value for time. You spend time and you are laughing.
My God.
Which one? Don't leave me. It's good, though. It's good.
Instagram.
You spend time. Don't leave me. You are laughing. You are laughing for hours. Laughing time away. Spend your time wisely. YouTube, you are watching. It's good. As the Lord gives grace.
YouTube.
Use your time wisely. That's very, it's going to be needful because we're talking about labor, investment. You know where you need to invest because you are investing for time to come. Most of the things you will do today are going to show in times. The one who is praying and doing the long hours of prayer, do it in secret. Spend that time wisely. Rather do that than doing something else. The one who is studying and studying long hours, it may not be open. Just do what God has told you to do. The most important part of the tree does not grow in the open, right? So do what you need to do in the secret. So that's the third one. Number four is keep your watch. Keep your watch. Keep your watch. Your watch. Keep your watch. There is the daily watch and there is the seasonal watch. There is the daily watch and there's the seasonal watch. I didn't give a scripture for number three. Ephesians 5 verse 15 to 17. It says that we should not walk as fools, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, that we should be circumspect in our use of time. Remember, we are given instructions as the Lord helps for the year. Invest wisely. Invest wisely. But number four, keep your watch. Keep your watch. Your watch basically speaks of your prayer life. Your prayer life. There is the daily watch. And as it pertains to purpose, there is the seasonal watch. There is a seasonal watch. I will explain what the seasonal watch means very briefly. Let's turn to the book of John. John chapter 5 verse 4. John chapter 5 verse 4. John chapter 5 verse 4. John chapter 5 verse 4.
For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. An angel went down at a certain season.
There are seasons in your life where there will be a deep call, a stirring of the waters within you. It says, he that believes, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But in this sense, the Lord is stirring something inside of you. It may be as a result of a burden. You are not really sure. There is just a stirring in your spirit. So there is the daily watch, which is a necessity, but there is the seasonal watch, which is a call to the secret place. And when you go, the Lord expounds. He gives, sometimes there may be encounters. And I perceive strongly, this year is going to be a year of great encounters for individuals. A year of great encounters. A year of great encounters. Some of you, we have encounters that will define your destiny.
In the name of Jesus.
Encounters. A year of great encounters.
Encounters.
So a stirring of the waters happens. A stirring of the waters happens. A stirring of the waters. And the call is to the secret place. And things are defined. Things are defined. Let's move quickly as a roundup. Number five, submit yourself to the corrections and the dealings of the Lord. Submit yourself to the corrections and the dealings of the Lord. Submit yourself to the corrections and the dealings of the Lord. Romans 13 from verse 10 to 14. It speaks about putting on Christ, making no room for the flesh. It talks about the love walk. The Lord is correcting you, telling you to be more forgiving. Anyone who has listened to the past messages would witness to the reality that the Lord did some kind of, permit me to use a purging on the house for the season to come. A purging, character-wise. And I recommend that we make references or make reference to those messages over and over again. So, yield to the corrections, the dealings. You talk too much, talk less. You find yourself that you have been in position of maybe gossip, or you just, whatever it is, it's just a trait, a weakness. So that's why we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to swallow up those weaknesses as the Lord invests by his word and by his spirit in us. So submit to the corrections and the dealings of God. Number six, which is very very important. Number six, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. Luke 19 verse 17. Luke 19 verse 17. Luke 19 verse 17. Mercy, thank you. You're doing a wonderful job. More anointing. Luke 19 verse 17. Thank you very much. Luke 19, verse 17. I'm trying to open Luke 19. Yes. Let's read it together. This one is very important. Let's read it together. Are we on mute?
Yes, sir.
Let's read it together. Let's read it together. This is very important. Let's read it. One, two, go. And he said unto them, because thou hast been faithful in very little, thou hast authority over much cities. You have been faithful in how big?
Very little.
Medium size or very little?
Very little.
Very small.
Very small. It goes for your spiritual life. It goes for ministry. It goes for your interaction with the systems of, I mean, social interactions, your secular investments. Be faithful in the very little, not just little. Mastery is inconsistency. You just stay doing the little things. Let's bring it down. Let's bring it down to something as little as prayer. Just keep on doing what you can do as the Lord gives grace. And as the Lord helps, join yourself to people who may be grace. Maybe you want to pray more. You want to exercise yourself in prayer. Do what you can do, but be consistent. There are people who have left their altars. And one thing the Lord will pour out this year, even greater. We have experienced it in dimensions. Greater this year is the spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace and supplication. Heavier upon the house. And it will consume our infirmities in the place of prayers. We have not seen prayers. You will pray this year like never before. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lastly. With regards to transition, is fix your gaze on the Lord Jesus. 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 Fix your gaze. If we go back to the story in Mark chapter 4, we will see something regarding, we know the story, how that Jesus was in the boat and there was storms here and there. And the reality is that when there is transition in view, which is already happening, there is always a stirring up of the waters, the waves. There is always a stirring up. There is an arising of fearful, in quotes, fearful situations. Winds and waves arise. But remember, the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord on high is mightier than what? Many waters and the noise of many seas. So focus on him. Keep your gaze on him. Absolute dependence and trust in God. Strengthen your faith walk. Strengthen your faith walk. Learn to trust him. Learn to trust him. Fix your gaze totally on him. Totally on God. It's very needful at this time. Remember, the one who is in your boat is greater than the storms. Do you believe Jesus is in your boat?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe Jesus is in your boat?
Yes.
Are you sure about it?
Yes.
Someone shout, Jesus is in my boat.
Jesus is in
my boat. Kai, there are too many people. There are too many people not unmuted. Someone shout, Jesus is in my boat. Jesus is in my boat. Hallelujah. Jesus is in my boat. He's with me.
Jesus is in my boat.
Hallelujah. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What more is better than that? And one thing we must sustain in this time is a consciousness of his presence. You are one with God. It's a basic truth that makes... I believe that truth, percentage-wise, we advance a believer at least by 25%. It sounds funny, but that's just my mind. People say it a lot, but the consciousness of that, it goes a long way. You understand? So that's our meditation for today. I believe the Lord is moving his house. This is how the Lord has led us today. It's very instructive. I believe there's some level of prophetic direction to it as the Lord gives grace. But It's giving us an appreciation for what we are in and what the Lord is doing. The Lord is instructing us for the time to come, individually as a church. And I tell you, we are on to great things, my brethren. You don't know what the Lord has in store for 2021. When men say there is a casting down, you, we say there is a what? There is a lifting up. God is up to something great in this house. We have not known anything like this before. It is coming as a huge deluge. It is coming greatly. But the Lord is preparing us. He's preparing us. Capacity-wise, He's increasing us. Grace-wise, He's adding to the earth. He has added. There are dimensions of graces we have seen in traits before. But men will begin to arise in their true capacities and stand, as the scripture says, without breaking rank. An understanding of what God has called us to do gives us a very, very proper functioning of the body. And the Lord is giving that grace. He is establishing us today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's just, before we talk, take up prayers. We thank the Lord for help with time. This 1 hour and 20 minutes. I would like us to take this song. Whoever led, okay, Peace led on, led with singing earlier. And while she sings that song, I would like us to speak to the Lord. Actually, let's just begin to talk to the Lord regarding this meditation today. It's very instructive. It's very instructive. This has to do with purpose. This has to do with purpose, investment. Peace, can you play the song, or whoever is on the keyboard, whoever has strings there, but just lightly, Be Thou My Vision, Be Thou My Vision. Let's talk to the Lord. For those who are not sure, for those who are not sure of what the Lord is telling them to do, there is already entrance into that. There's so much entrance. Clarity. There's so much entrance. There's so much entrance. So much entrance. So much entrance into that. Clarity, 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 clarity. Huge clarity. So much light this year. So much light. So much light, 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 so much light. Clarity, clarity. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Baraka vegedesh toko praka vegedush teke perekoba. Liproshe pereke vegedesh toko praka parakoba. Light, clarity of direction. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Liproshe pereke vegedesh toko. Liproshe pereke vegedesh toko praka parakoba. Oh Jesus. Liproshe pereke vegedushte. Liproshe parash. Lepereke vegedesh. Oh.